On this festival of Epiphany, we hear the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea." They departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Probably all of you in your homes have some type of special decorations that come out at Christmas time. In our house, we have a special kind of snow globe that we bring out. It has the Holy Family inside of it, and you can turn on a music box underneath it, and it plays Joy to the World. And when my grandchildren come, they love to turn that thing on all day long and play Joy to the World, as you see the little Holy Family in there. But what's interesting is the Holy Family is not depicted inside of that globe around the manger, but rather Mary is on a donkey and Joseph is looking in fear as they are traveling away off into Egypt. It depicts the flight into Egypt. It's interesting that when we go from December 24th and 25th, the celebration of the birth of this Savior that came into the world for us, but here we are now at Gentile Christmas on January 6th, and the church now has to mark that our Lord, this little child, has to be taken out of this situation where he could possibly be killed. What a stark contrast and that we see in those two events. The quietness and the peace and tranquility of the nativity is suddenly rattled by we know what's coming with the decision of King Herod. The golden medal that the wise men bring as a gift to welcome this king that's been born now will be matched by the medal of the swords of the soldiers as they go through the streets of Bethlehem looking for children. The choir of angels that sang the praises of the Son of God and his incarnation coming into the world will now be matched by the screams and the wailing of mothers over the death of their little children. The humble Mary who sits and ponders the birth of this Christ child and what it will mean for her now has to clutch that same child to her breast as they ride off to a foreign country to escape authorities. It's really a sad irony, isn't it, that the Son of God from heaven, who possesses all authority in heaven and earth, and the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily, even in this little child, and he has come into this world for no other reason than to rescue people like us out of our graves, that he now has to be taken and run out of the country, and he has to face poverty and dishonor and be despised and shamed in such a horrible way by this earthly king. The theology of the cross starts right here. The theology of the cross, the suffering servant who's come into the world, even as a little baby. He's the light of the world, and yet he has to be stolen away into darkness to preserve his life, for him to accomplish the great mission of paying for all of our sins. In his great Christmas hymn, Dr. Martin Luther, the hymn "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come," has this line, "Welcome to earth, thou noble guest, through whom the sinful world is blessed. Thou comest to share our misery." And certainly 33 years later, this little infant will grow up to be the adult who will stand in front of Pontius Pilate and prepare to be whipped and beaten and crucified. And he will say to him, "My kingdom is not of this world." And Matthew's account that we just read is perfect evidence of that, that our Lord's kingdom is not of this world. The world responds to this king in a far different way than heaven should expect. Now, we may shake our heads in disbelief at the treatment that Christ receives by this evil King Herod, but if I'm honest with myself, deep inside of my heart is a similar disdain for this heavenly king. The wicked sinfulness that I've inherited from my parents all the way back to Adam and Eve produces that inside of us as well. And inside of us is a desire to unseat and depose the position of authority that this Lord should have over us. It's hard to face, but we all have a little Herod in our hearts. And it comes out in a lot of different ways. Maybe not sending people to kill children, but it comes out in a lot of different ways. We frequently desire to depose him. We frequently want to prevent his rule over us in our day-to-day lives. John says it so well. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet look at this church of Christ sitting here today. He does have believers. He does have followers. He does have a kingdom that is reigning in our hearts. And it's not because of anything we've done. We're just as evil and wicked as Herod himself. But the very grace that he comes to bring in this world has caused him to also send his Holy Spirit through his word, the light of the gospel, into our hearts, to bring us to the manger of our Savior and to recognize in him the very thing that you and I absolutely must have in order to make it into heaven someday. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a body with blood and flesh and bones that would someday have to go to a cross to make the ultimate payment, to have all of our guilt before God wiped clean. And he has come to do that just for you and just for me. And it's this little child who now has come into the world to grant people like us, just as wicked as the rest of the world, but who now know him by faith and have put our trust and confidence in him by the work of the Holy Spirit, to see in him the everlasting hope of going to heaven and the glorious resurrection that's waiting for us. But in this life, we should never expect that his kingdom will be of this world and respected by this world. We should always expect that those who follow him and want to care about his word will be repulsed and rejected by the common man in the world. This has always been how our world has received this King of Heaven, and it will never look at him any differently until this world comes to an end. So our little Savior, the King of Heaven, must be taken off and begin his life in exile. In the ancient church, the exile of Christ off into Egypt, the sojourn into Egypt, was often seen as a little picture for each one of us who follow him, who are members of his kingdom, of what it's going to be like for us in this world, that we sojourn in this life, that we are living in a foreign land of this world, because really we belong to a much greater place, and that is the heavenly home he has come to prepare for us. But here in this world, we are foreigners and strangers on earth. But St. Paul reminds us this: I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Yes, Herod's actions proved that Christ's kingdom is not of this world, but thank God, neither are his subjects. Those who love him and trust in him, we likewise are not of this world. And the very God who sent his son into the world to get you out of this wicked, death-filled world so you could know real life, that very same God is not ashamed to be called your God and has prepared a city for you. Amen.